Lord, to praise your name.
Amen.
To bless your name, Lord.
Amen.
Lord, thank you for your grace and mercy, Lord. We could be anywhere, Lord, today.
Amen.
But Lord, we can hear. Thank you, Lord, for all these young people.
Amen.
Lord, they sit here, Lord. Amen. They came to hear from you, Lord.
Yes.
Bless their hearts, Lord.
Amen.
We are praying you for them.
Amen.
Lord, many people, Lord, you say in your word that doors are closed for you, that you are knocking. Lord, from outside, but we are opening today these doors, Lord, for
Amen.
You.
Amen.
Please, Lord, came and break the bread of life to us.
Amen. Amen.
Lord, anoint
Amen.
The pastor, Lord.
Amen.
Please, Lord.
Give us word, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Lord, please, Lord, you pray one time, let it be on the earth like it is in heaven.
Amen.
Amen.
We believe, Lord, there is one gathering in heaven, Lord,
yes,
today.
Lord.
We are just, Lord, one shadow of that, what is happening in heaven, Lord.
Amen.
What is happening in reality, Lord. And maybe
Amen.
If we can see, Lord, how many angels are now here together, Lord.
Amen.
Lord, I am praying you, Lord, for this lost city, Lord.
Amen.
Yes,
Lord.
Lord,
let us shine
Amen.
Your light, Lord,
Amen.
Here, Lord. And I believe, Lord, let it go from this place
yes.
out, Lord. Call
yes,
those,
Lord,
who are hunger and thirsty
Amen.
For righteousness, Lord. There
Amen.
Is many people, Lord, they are bound in the city,
Amen.
This city, Lord.
Yes.
Use us, Lord. Bring them to
Lord.
Us, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Please, Lord, I am praying you also, Lord, for service in Dublin. Bless
Amen.
Brother Wilmore.
Please,
Lord. Bless
Amen.
Saints,
Amen.
Lord. Feed
Amen.
Them today, Lord.
Amen.
Change
Amen.
Us today, Lord.
Amen.
Please, Lord.
We are praying you, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Welcome.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Sing maybe Esther there. Esther dear panted for the water, so my soul longeth after you. You alone are my heart's desire. I love you. How glorious is thy name! How glorious is thy name! How glorious is thy name! O Lord! How glorious is thy name! How glorious is thy name! Lord, how glorious is thy name! Oh Lord,
I think let's give Brother Jesse a applause. He asked how many songs you should sing. I said, just sing two, right? Because I could see he was very nervous. But the more he sang, I said, let's sing more. You could just keep going. It was very good, brother. Thank you, brother. God bless everyone, brother. It's fun. Good to see you, brother. Welcome, brother. Sister Chipo, God bless you. Brother, God bless you as well. Good to see you, each and every one. And Brother Anderson, good to see you again, brother. And each person who's gathered today. It's good to be in his house. By the grace of God, next time, after the 22nd, it should be easier to get a place.
Yeah.
The brothers really did try to find a place, Brother Jamo, Brother Sasha, but with all the restrictions, we could have got places, but everyone had to prove they had two vaccines, and you get another place, you could only have 12 people and stuff. So we said, wonderful, let's start in the house. It's good to start in the house. It's good to be here. It's good to be gathered. Thank you so much, Brother Sasha, for the open door, and Sister Natasha. Amen. Thank you for the atmosphere in your house, brother.
Amen.
The Lord is in your house. It's wonderful to come to a place where the Lord is always welcome.
Amen.
We do appreciate that. Let's open the word straight away, since let's open the book of Joel. I really waited for Brother Jess there, and he got onto just the right chorus. How glorious is his name. We'd like to speak about a glorious church. So I already said that was Joel chapter 1, the book of Joel. Let's stand to our feet. Let's respect the word. We'll take a couple of verses from Joel 1 and Joel 2. Joel chapter 1. Let us just read verse 4. This we know is the word of the Lord to Joel. Oh, sorry. Thank you, bro. Joel 1, verse 4. That which the palmer worm hath left, hath the locust eaten. And that which the locust hath left, hath the cankerworm eaten. And that which the cankerworm hath left, hath the caterpillar eaten.
Amen.
You know, so we know that Joel is speaking about the same insect in its four stages. The first it comes, starts eating the fruits, then it eats the leaves, then it eats the bark, and then it gets right into the sap line of the tree, and the tree dies. So he's saying that this tree, there's been a lot of damage done to this tree. Chapter 2, verse 23. Let's read 23 and 24. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. For he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. And the floors shall be full of wheat, and the vat shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you.
Amen.
What a great promise that the Lord will restore. Let's pray. Father, we're so glad to be gathered in this house. We're so glad to be here upon this day.
Amen.
Father, if we look to the north, south, east, and west, we wouldn't want to be anywhere else today, Lord.
Amen.
But to be with your people, to be gathered in your will, to be gathered under your divine purpose, to be gathered in your presence.
Amen.
What a blessing that it is, Lord. Surely, to a believer, home is wheresoever your presence is. And Father,
Amen.
How we feel so at home here today. What a wonderful thing to gather with your people. Thank you for your people that have traveled from the north, south, east, and west to be here this day. May you bless each soul, bless each heart, and guide us in our fellowship. Lord, may your blessing rest upon this home and be glorified in all that we say and do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Saints, you may be seated. God bless you. I'm going to take a thought, Saints, just today. Actually, we're speaking a little bit in the car with Brother Greg and the Saints. But speaking about, thank you, bro, about what really does the Lord desire in a day like this. Now, we can have our will, we can have our thoughts. Now, what does the Lord want in a church? What does the Lord want when he gathers people together? You know, we're here, we've gathered in Limerick today. What really would the Lord be looking for? You know, we know many times what the Lord focuses on can be very different than what we focus on. So I think it's quite a good thing sometimes to go back and just remind ourselves again But what does the Lord have in mind when he brings people together? We've read it from the book of Joel there, how the Lord wants to restore and so forth. But our thought today is, what does the Lord want people to gather around? We know this, the messages, God's provided place of worship. Thank you, Brent. And the Lord said in the Bible, he says, look, you don't just gather anywhere. Don't just gather in any gate, in any place. It said, but in the place where I have chosen to place my name.
Amen.
That is the place where you need to gather. So God always has had a place where he wants his people to gather together, because he wants to gather together with his people.
Amen.
And we might gather with as people, we might have our own gatherings, and well, it's good to gather, family gatherings and stuff. But the most important, the most precious thing is to gather in the place that the Lord has chosen for people to gather.
Amen.
Where he is present, so we can gather around in that place, his chosen place of worship.
Mm.
That's what you just want to just fellowship around a little bit. John chapter 17, just while you see that sense, let's read the couple of verses from John chapter 17. Let's look what the Lord Jesus Christ said just before he was crucified. We've spoken many times in John 17. This is the great high priest praying for the people before he goes to offer himself. This is Jesus' prayer for the church. And when Jesus prayed for us, he prays first for his disciples, and then he prays for us in John 17. Verse 20, he now starts praying for us. And he says, neither pray I for these alone,
amen,
but for them also which shall believe on me through their word.
Amen.
So Jesus prayed for you, because you've believed on him through their word.
Amen.
Yeah, so he's praying for us. What does he pray? That they all may be one.
Amen.
This was the first thing that Jesus prayed for. When he thought of his church, when he prayed for the future church that was to come, he knew in each age, in each generation, in each place, he would have his people, and he would gather his people together.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that he prayed is that they may be one.
Amen.
Amen.
And what kind of oneness, what kind of unity? He says it as he continues on, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me,
amen,
and I in thee, that they also may be one in us.
Amen.
So it's a spiritual union.
Amen.
You know, if you are in oneness with Jesus today, and Brother Sasha is in oneness, I'm in oneness with Jesus, when we come together, we're fulfilling the purpose of
amen.
Jesus.
Amen.
That we all may be one. This isn't just uniting around a denomination,
amen,
not just uniting around somebody's thought, somebody's yeah. idea, but this is uniting under the around the purpose of God.
Amen.
That's really what Jesus wants us to do, that they may be one, he says. At the end of verse 21, he says, why? That the world may believe that thou hast sent me.
Amen.
He says, when the people gather, and Father, they one, the way you and I are one, that's when the world's going to believe what they say.
Amen.
That's when they gather, there's going to be a difference. Because the people are going to see there's something different about this gathering of these people.
Amen.
These people have got something which we don't have.
Mm-hmm.
These people have a oneness. These people have a unity. I think it's Brother Leroy there, bro. Come inside. God bless you, brother. Good to see you, brother.
Good to see you.
More than welcome. Sorry, we've been jammed in, but I'm sure you'll find yourself a place. He said, God bless you, sister. God bless you, richly. Good to see you. Please have a seat. Thanks, brother. So God bless Brother Leroy and his family. Good to see them as well. Amen. We're just speaking from John chapter 17. Brother Leroy, sister Melanie, we're speaking about a glorious church. Jesus' prayer for his people. John 17, we're reading verse 21, where Jesus says, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. So imagine Jesus. He's about to go to be crucified. Imagine the weight of the sins of the world is upon him. This is the last night. He's going to go straight from this is the Last Supper. He's praying. He's going straight to Gethsemane. He's going to be arrested this night. Tomorrow he's going to be on the cross. And he knows he's going to die, and you know, all the suffering he has to go through. And you'll find out that people in their last kind of words, when people are in this kind of a situation and they say things, people don't just say light things at a time like this. People say what's really important to them. So when Jesus now is praying this prayer for his people, right at the end, when he's about to depart, he's leaving his disciples behind. The church is going to be born.
Mm-hmm.
No, 40 days from now on the day of Pentecost, or 50 days from now on the day of Pentecost, you find Jesus now shows what's important to him in his heart.
Amen.
Out of all the things he could have prayed for us, he could have prayed for us to have so many other things.
Mm.
Lord, don't let them be persecuted. And Lord, you know, whatever. Mm. But the thing that he prayed for, the most important, said, Father, the thing which they need the most is that they may be one, mm-hmm. the way that you and I are one. Amen. Because if they are one, the way that you and I are one, mm-hmm. the people are going to believe what they say.
Amen.
The
Amen.
People are going to believe the witness Amen. Which they have. So this is the oneness that he was praying for. So it continues on in the next verse, verse 22. And he says, okay, Lord, Father, how are they going to be one? He explains to us how we can be mm-hmm. one.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 20 says, and the glory
mm-hmm.
which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one.
Amen.
He's saying, Father, you and I have such a oneness because you have poured your glory into me.
Mm.
No, so that glory has made us one. So, Father, the same glory that you've given me that has made you and I one, that I've perfectly fulfilled your will, that I've only done that which pleases you, let that same glory that you've given me, I now give it to them.
Amen.
And we know that glory came on the day of Pentecost.
Yes,
that was the glory that came down on the day of Pentecost. So,
yep.
so you can really see the desire that Jesus had.
Amen.
And what Jesus prayed for now, we go to the day of Pentecost, we see the fulfillment of this prayer now.
Mm.
He says, Father, let them be one. Let the glory that's in me be in them, that they may be one. And you find 120 people gathered in an upper room under in a one accord, and the glory comes down. The same glory that was in Jesus
Amen.
Now comes inside of the church. And now there's a certain something that takes place to these people. This church now has something that it didn't have before
Amen.
That has this glory.
Amen.
This church is really reflecting the glory. And as we read the first few chapters of the book of Acts, we'll see the manifestation of this glory.
Amen.
We'll see this glory of God now moving and working in the midst of his people in answer to the prayers of Jesus. Now, Brother Ram speaks about this, and he says in the message, restoration of the bride tree now.
Yeah.
And he says, God is speaking of his fruit tree
mm-hmm.
that he planted. God planted a fruit tree. He planted it on the day of Pentecost. And he brought that tree there for a purpose. So here we find the book of life, this fruit tree that was in the Garden of Eden, that people could come to, Adam could come to and partake of this tree of life, which was a symbol of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm.
God's provided place of worship. Adam could keep on coming and taking from this tree. And as long as he partook from this tree, he'd never die.
Mm.
Every need was met. He had eternal life. He had dominion. No matter the life, man, he must have been so sweet in the spirit. He must have lived such a life because he was reflecting Jesus. He is partaking of this tree of life.
Mm.
And then man now falls and the sin comes in and man gets separated from this tree of life.
Mm.
All through the Old Testament. And then God induces and brings the tree of life and the word is made flesh and dwells amongst us. And he has Jesus, the tree of life is made flesh.
Mm.
And now we see the glory of God now once again on display. And people can come to Jesus and partake. People that come with questions, they go away with answers. People
Amen.
That come with needs, they go away with their needs having been provided.
Mm.
People that are hopeless, they go away with hope. You know, wherever he goes now, this glory is in him. He's the tree of life.
Amen.
People can partake of the fruits now, once again, of the tree of life in Jesus.
Amen.
But Jesus is saying, no, Father, I don't want this just to be inside of me. I'm praying, let this also be in my people.
Amen.
Amen. And so the prophet saying on the day of Pentecost, when Jesus died now, the tree of life now was planted in the church.
Amen.
And now the same glory, the same life, the same presence of God was now poured out into these 120. And the prophet types and he says, it's like a fruit tree. God planted this fruit tree of the church. And he planted it for a purpose.
Amen.
You don't plant a tree in your garden, a fruit tree, if you're not wanting to get fruit.
Amen.
No, you plant an apple tree because you want apples. And
yes.
you plant a mango tree because you want mangoes.
Mm.
There's certain things you're wanting and expecting from that tree. So the Lord planted this tree on the day of Pentecost because he wanted certain fruits so people could partake of these fruits of his glory.
Mm.
And we see that in the early church in the first few chapters of the book of Acts.
Mm.
You know, we see this bride tree now.
Amen.
It starts to bloom now. And you see, these original fruits from the this bryant tree. Oh my.
Amen.
You can read those first few chapters of the book, how the people were one.
Amen.
Yeah, and how the people so esteemed the church. Amen. The people feared to join themselves to the people because they saw this glory of God manifest in the midst of the people.
Amen.
There was something which these people had. That, and when you find it in those first chapters of the book, actually we spoke of it before at church, that the Holy Ghost now, in those first five chapters of the book of Acts, focuses on one particular fruit from this fruit tree. And that was the oneness that the people had. That was the thing the Holy Ghost continues to focus on. Because, friends, we end up always focusing on things the Holy Ghost doesn't when we get out of the Spirit.
And
when we gather as people, we'll focus on this, we focus on that. But I would say that if we gather here today, if we desire the Lord to do something in Limerick through us, we should have a look and see, but God, when you planted a church, when you planted a tree in a certain place at a certain time, there were certain fruits you wanted to come forth from that tree. And Jesus, you prayed and said, I'm going to give my glory to the people so they can bring forth the fruits of this glory. So I'd say it would be a good thing for us to see, what did he focus on? So what should we focus on as well? No, because we can get on to secondary things, but let's look at what the Holy Ghost really focused on in those early, early chapters. This was the bride tree, the Book of Acts, in its former glory.
Yeah.
You know, this church was something, friends, to behold. You can't read Acts chapter 2, 3, 4 and not be moved inside of your heart and say, how wonderful to be there.
Amen.
How wonderful to see. And this is something, when you find this glory, when you find this unity, when you find these fruits amidst people, it's something which the Lord wants people to behold. Like we've said before, Psalm 133, David now speaking of this tree, speaking of this oneness, these fruits, he says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity.
Amen.
For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore.
Amen.
You know, so he's saying, behold, you know, you've heard me say it before, it's like the Holy Ghost is using David, and David is saying to people, the Lord's seeing something taking place, and people are just busy, busy, busy. He said, hey, hey, come and see this, come and behold.
Amen.
Here's something that's not natural.
Amen.
Here's something that people need to see. You need to see what it's like when brethren dwell together in unity. Because there the Lord commanded the blessing.
Amen.
So that's the thing which the Holy Ghost is pointing us to in the earlier chapters of Acts as well, is this oneness that the people have.
Amen.
This one accord that the church has. Because the glory, Jesus says, Father, you've given me the glory.
Amen.
And that means it's brought oneness between you and I.
Amen.
Now I want this glory to be fresh and real in your people, because it'll make them one the way that we are one.
Amen.
You see, any other unity is just a Tower of Babel, friends.
Mm-hmm.
If you unite around politics, unite around race, color, creed, you unite around anything else, it's a false unity. But what is God looking for? The unity of one God in one church. That's what he wants. That's what the world needs to see. Jesus says, Father, when they see this, when your glory is on display in your people like this, then the people will believe that you sent
me. Amen.
That's when people will start believing, because they'll see there's something here.
Amen.
There's something beyond just flesh and blood.
Yeah.
There's something beyond just theories and ideas and man's doings here. This is the planting of God. This is God doing something.
Amen.
And friends, I'm sure you're the same as me. You want to go deeper and further into this, to a deeper demonstration of his glory inside of your own life.
Amen.
But, you know, so this upstanding characteristic of the early church, I've spoken of it before. That word that the Holy Ghost uses, you look in your Bible, if you have Acts chapter 1, verse 14, let's just look at this word, how it keeps on coming up in these early chapters now, when God comes and plants now this fruit tree, this bride tree. Acts 1, verse 14. And these all continued with one accord.
Amen. Amen.
In prayer and supplication. They were in one accord. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 1. It's the next chapter. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord.
Amen.
In one place. Amen. And you see, the Holy Ghost keeps bringing this. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 46. Same chapter, verse 46. It says, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house and eating meat. It keeps going. Acts chapter 4, verse 24. Just skip a couple of pages. Acts 4, verse 24. And when they heard this, they're being persecuted, they're praying, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord.
Amen.
Amen.
Ah, friends, and you can keep going. Acts chapter 5, verse 12, the last one we'll look at. Acts chapter 5, verse 12. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord.
Amen.
In Solomon's porch.
Amen.
You know, so I mean, I might be a dummy in many things, but I can really see when I read the book of Acts, the Holy Ghost is trying to get a point across here.
Amen.
He's trying to show us. He's not focusing on gifts.
Mm.
He's not focusing on other things. He's focusing on a certain characteristic that brings the gifts. A certain character. He's not focusing just on the miracles, but he's focusing on the characteristic that brings the miracles.
Amen.
You see, so he takes it right back to the most important thing. It's like the Holy Ghost is saying, if you get this right, everything else will sort itself out.
Amen.
But we as people, we want to focus on the secondary things.
Mm-hmm.
We like, we love to focus on gifts and ministries and all these kind of things. But the Holy Ghost said, no, don't look too far on those things. That'll take care of itself.
Mm-hmm.
But let's see what it is that we need to focus on as believers. We need to focus on one accord.
Amen.
This is the thing that the glory brought into the early church, that brought them into a one accord. This was a supernatural something, friends.
Yeah.
It's not easy to take people from different races, tribes, tongues, ideas, backgrounds, and bring people into a real spiritual oneness.
Amen.
The prophet says that is an act of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And that is why when you read this here now, it's called the Acts of the Apostles.
Mm.
That's what the translators put. It's not really, it's speaking in the beginning, this is the Acts of the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Amen.
Now, this was really the Acts of the Holy Ghost in his people.
Amen.
Amen. And the same Holy Ghost is the same Holy Ghost today.
Yes. Amen.
And his acts in the church, he wants them to be the same now. The prophet says, if ever he does something again, we'll write another book of Acts.
Amen.
But let's see how the book of Acts started. What did they focus on? What did they get to in order for things to unfold themselves so that people could come and partake of this bride tree in these early chapters of the book of Acts? So then one accord. Now, I've said it before, the word one accord, it's a unique word. There was no, this word, homothumadon, it was never used before in Greek. It was a word which was made up and put in the Bible. Because, you know, Luke, when he was writing under the influence, the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, when he was speaking about what he was seeing, this certain characteristic among the people, there was nothing in human vocabulary that could meet what it is that he was seeing. So the Holy Ghost made a new word, which was homos, means one. And thumos means mind or temperament. They're of one mind, these people. They had the same aims, the same objectives. They had many things that could have divided them. Because some were Greek, some were Hebrew, some came from here, some came from there. Some were like Peter, you know, they were rough sort of fishermen. Some were scholars, like, you know, different ones. There were different temperaments of people, different kinds of people. But the glory in them brought a certain characteristic.
Amen.
That it brought them into a one mind.
Amen.
Amen.
No, they had one purpose, one aim, one objective.
Amen.
Despite all the secondary things of life, but what governed them.
Yes.
The spiritual condition that governed them. Amen. They had a one accord.
Amen.
And that is what the Holy Ghost was really, really pointing us to. And it defines those early chapters of the book of Acts. One accord.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, so now, how did they get into this one accord? It shows us in Acts 1 verse 14, the very first chapter. They gathered in prayer. Because this is the Acts of the Holy Ghost. They were born in Acts chapter 2 of this glory. They gathered, Acts 1 verse 14. They continued with one accord in prayer, and supplication. You know, so they had all these differences before. Who's going to be the greatest in the church? I'm going to be greater than you. I'm going to speak to Jesus when the others aren't right. Master, when you come in your kingdom, let me sit on your one side, let my brother sit on the other side. No, and then all these jealousies and they're arguing with one another. The prophet says before Pentecost, they never had oneness. Either with one another, neither with Jesus. They couldn't understand Jesus. They didn't understand his purpose. Yes. Here's John, here are the people, they go into a village. You know, please, you know, can you allow us to come and stay in your village for a bit? You know, my master's coming, maybe you can help us some food and some stuff to the Samaritans. We don't know your master, who's he? We don't want him in our village. Hey, John comes back. Lord, we came to the village, they don't want to receive you.
Yeah.
I saw it in the Bible when I was reading this morning about Elijah. He called fire from heaven upon people. Let us call fire from heaven upon these people. And Jesus had to rebuke them and say, you know not what spirit you are. Amen. The Son of Man didn't come to destroy men's lives. Yes. He came to save them.
Amen.
That was the dispensation of justice under Elijah there. Now the justice of God. But now it's grace. The Son of Man came. So they didn't have this oneness. But once the day of Pentecost came.
Amen.
And now this prayer of Jesus was answered. And this glory came into them. Now the same characteristic that people had seen in Jesus, they saw in them.
Amen.
And now these disciples had a oneness of understanding, oneness of purpose. You know, like I said, they had different occupations, they had different, you know, one likes this color, one likes that, one likes this car, one likes that. But if you have this glory is real inside of you, this is the overriding characteristic of your life.
Amen.
Everything else you feel secondary to this is oneness.
Amen.
To be one accord with him, one accord with his people, uniting around a single common purpose, which is gathering in God's provided place of worship so that he can manifest his glory, so that people will believe that Jesus sent us.
Amen.
Spent without this glory, we're just another gathering of people. Then people will come and say, okay, we like you people in the message, you know, you say some good things from the Bible. Okay, then they go somewhere else. Yeah, okay, these people, they're just comparing scriptures. We don't want that, friends. The Holy Ghost testified himself of the people in the early chapters of the book of Acts.
Amen.
He testified. The people saw it for themselves. It says it in the Bible that the people took knowledge when they saw Peter and John, you know, they threatened them and so forth, and Peter and John are filled with the glory. And they said, look, it's good, brethren, we respect you, but we rather are going to obey God than obey you. We'll throw you in prison. That's okay. You know, they saw something about these people, it says, and they knew they were ignorant and unlearned, but they took knowledge. They've been with Jesus. They said, there's something about these people. There's the same essence with these people as with that man Jesus. When he beat him, he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. When he did all these things to him, now we're doing the same to these people. Look, the same characteristics in these people. So the people were testifying now to say there's something about these people. And the Bible actually says, like we say, it says, the people feared to join themselves. Now those that were like hypocrites and playing around, they said, if you want to worship, go and worship with these people. Yeah? We used to have it back home in Zimbabwe, and our church really had a revival. And I remember one man, he came along. I told Brother Greg, one man came along to church on a Wednesday night. One brother testified to him. He was a minister in a church, a denominational church. And he came and he just sat in the quiet time on Wednesday night before church. And then he listened to the preaching. He went back. My friend went to speak to him at work the next day and said, you know, how did you find the service? And brother, he says, I've never felt the presence of God more than when you people sat quietly there before church. You see, and because he was always a minister of the gospel, he never could leave his church. But he sent his children to our church. He saw it. He saw there's something here. He was a minister in his church. And friends, that is the thing that's required. Not to get anything done for the Lord. It's this one accord. It's this glory. It's this something which they had in the book of Acts. And we'll see it in the book of Acts, that they had such an atmosphere around them. And Acts chapter 5 now shows how pleased the Lord was with this. When you look at that last reading, we're at Acts 5 verse 12. Acts chapter 5 verse 12. It says, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest, durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. They weren't magnifying themselves. They weren't saying, our message is better than yours. No, they were just living a life. They were just manifesting a glory. And the people were testifying to say, that message is powerful. If you really want to see people that are people of God, go to the message. You see, that's the way it was in the book of Acts. The people were magnifying them. Verse 14, and believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women. Because Jesus said, Father, when the people see the glory, then they'll believe that I sent these people and that you sent me. The people will believe on me when they see the glory in the midst of the people. And I think, friends, this is the key. This is really, really the key if we want to do anything for the Lord to be glorified inside of our lives. So these people, what was the key to the early church? They united around a promise.
Mm-hmm.
They had something glorious that had been given them. Jesus gave them a promise. Amen. Go and wait in the upper room.
Mm-hmm.
You shall receive power from on high.
Amen.
Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you.
Mm-hmm.
But tarry you. So when they gathered in Acts chapter 1, they weren't gathered around a human program.
Mm-hmm.
They were gathered around a divine promise.
Amen.
Amen.
They had something which they could now, instead of arguing about who was greatest and who could catch more fish and who could do all these different things, they now started to fellowship around what they had in common. They started to fellowship around the promises they had been given.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
And now they started to pray. And as they started to pray, they started to come into one accord.
Mm-hmm.
They started to make their differences right and say, look, brother, hey, James, I'm sorry that where I was looking at you and arguing with you the other day.
Mm.
Forgive me, bro.
Mm-hmm.
That was just my human temperament. But the more we're praying, the more we're coming here, there's something declaring itself to me. There's something greater than our human program that we've gathered around.
Mm-hmm.
We have such a uniting principle. Jesus has promised to give us his glory.
Mm.
What a glorious promise that he's given us.
Yeah.
And that became the thing that gathered them together. They weren't gathered because Brother Ellie was telling them, you know, you need to be there on time. Don't watch the toilets, you sisters, on the Sunday morning, which is important things.
Yeah.
But they wanted to be there.
Amen.
Yes,
because there was glory.
Amen.
Because when they went there, there was something there in the midst of the people.
Amen.
That's what they wanted together.
Amen.
Yeah, that's how it really, really started. So they united around a common calling. Because Jesus had called them together.
Yes.
Yeah. And friends, we've united around a common calling.
Amen.
They united around a common promise.
Amen.
Friends, what promises we have for this age? That's what united us together.
Amen.
They united themselves around a glorious message that Jesus had
Amen.
Given them.
Amen.
A message which came from the Son of Man himself. He promised them things. He made himself real and manifest himself and then gave them promises and said, go and gather around these promises.
Amen.
And at first in the book of Acts, this was real to them.
Amen.
This was really fresh to them. And as long as that experience of that glory remained fresh, you saw one accord, one accord, one accord. But by the time you get to Acts chapter 6, because there's a palm of them. There's a canker worm. There's a caterpillar. There's a locust. There's the enemy. And whenever the enemy sees this fruit tree of God, he's never going to leave it like that because he knows the power. He knows the authority. He knows the results that comes when there's this one accord.
Amen.
When people can come and eat of the tree of life, he knows something is going to take place. So what's the thing that he's going to do? He's going to start focusing now. The enemy is going to start to come in. And the very first thing, he's going to start attacking their one accord.
Amen.
He knows if I can break down this one accord, they're just going to become a gathering of people just like anybody else. They're not going to have anything special anymore. They're not going to be this place where it's God's provided place of worship. It's going to be a gathering of people. So he starts coming in straight away. And how quickly the glory diminished in the early church. That's really sad to see. What was the church age message to the first age? You've left your first love.
Amen.
Go back to your first works. Yeah. And the prophet says it in the church age book. He says, if he's in church age, repent quickly, don't hesitate. But evidently Ephesus did hesitate
in
the first age. For her lifespan is not very long.
Mm.
The glory of God decreased ever so rapidly.
Amen.
Friends, that's a sad thing, but that's our own experience as well, isn't
it?
Now, we were speaking yesterday about, you know, the seasons that you go through in your Christian life, but the early church was born of the glory. They were born in an atmosphere of glory. They weren't born of the will of men. They were there on the day of Pentecost, and down came his glory. And they were born of this glory. And as long as they guarded that glory and kept that as the most important thing inside of their lives, you know, and allowed, got the human aspect out of the way and allowed the glory to be preeminent, then this glory just continued to work and this glory continued to manifest itself. And it was a glorious church there in the beginning. This was the former glory of the church. But soon they start losing their first love. They start getting away from what they had. Satan starts working in their midst. Now, the interesting thing is, if you read, let's read it. Look at this first age when Jesus speaks to them in the church ages, Revelation chapter 2. You'll really see how easy this is to happen, saints. Revelations 2, so he's speaking to the Ephesian church age, which is the early church. Verse 2. Okay. Revelations 2, verse 2. I know thy works.
Amen.
So though the glory had diminished, they kept on with their works. You see, you can keep on doing your works without the glory.
Amen.
I know your works and your labor. Amen. They didn't stop working. They didn't stop getting on the street. They didn't stop doing things for the Lord. The Lord's saying, it's good what you're doing. I know your works. I can see what you're doing. I can see how you're laboring for me. And your patience. Oh, friends, I'm a patient. Okay, you know, whatever it was. Well, let's not be too hasty here. And how you cannot bear them which are evil.
Amen.
They would discern, these are false apostles. We don't want this false doctrine in our church. We want the message. We don't want other people saying their own thing. It was good. They were faithful on their doctrine. They were making sure that the doctrine was pure. They stayed with the original faith that was once delivered to the saints. Verse 3, and has borne, and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. Friends, they were just going on, okay, hey, I'm really tired today. I'm getting in my car. I'm driving from Limerick. I'm driving to Dublin. You know? I'm going to be patient. You know, I'm tired. I'd like to stay at home, but I want to be with the saints of gathering. I want to be faithful in the post. That's wonderful.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And he commends them for that. But he says the one problem is you've lost that glory.
Yep.
The glory isn't real to you. You don't have the essence anymore. That was there in the beginning. Something's come in and taken that glory.
Yes.
You're good on the works. You're good on the labor. You're good on being faithful in the word. You're always faithful in the post of duty. I commend you for that. You're doing well, but there was something you had before which made you different than anybody else.
That's true. Yes.
And it was a glory through a message and a promise that came to you. And you were born in that glory. But something's coming to take that glory from you.
Amen.
And now things have just become a little bit natural and things have become a little bit formal. You know, the human side starting to come in. The book of Acts, now you find Acts chapter 6, you start the Hebrews, the widows start arguing about the Greek widows. The deacons are giving more of the food to them, giving less to us. You know, they start now, the glory is diminishing, so now they start coming down to a human level.
That's true.
And now they start arguing about, no, I think we should have more French songs in church. No, we should have more. We don't sing any Croatian songs in church. Yeah. How can you say we want to live in any Croatian songs? Yeah. Sometimes they sing some Shona songs there, but they don't put Lingala songs. You see, you're bringing it down now that you've lost something that was a heavenly place as you were gathered. Something that was real. Something that was a heavenly vision that you're all uniting around. But you've lost that a little bit now. Now you come down and you start getting into the human things now. And this is where Satan always wants to bring us. I mean, this is his works that he did in the early church. So they're keeping this outward form now, but they've lost that inward something which they had. That's something that distinguished them, that made them the church now.
Amen.
That made them, the church was made by the glory. Amen. It's the glory that shows you the church of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Not just what you claim.
Yeah.
And not just the doctrines we have. Those are good in their own sense, but we can have all those things and not have the glory.
Amen.
That's where the problem really comes in. And soon these divisions start. And now dishonesty comes in the church. Say you're having a building fund. Yeah, okay, I want to pledge €2,000 to the building fund. I sold my piece of land. Yeah, I gave all the money to the church. Wow, wonderful, brother Ananias. And Ananias is lying. The Holy Ghost discerns his heart. The devil has put in your life, you lie.
Yes.
Yeah. You sold it for $5,000 and you kept $3,000 for yourself. You could have kept that money for yourself. But why are you coming and glorying yourself in front of the saints? Saints, I sold my land and I gave it all to the church. Yeah, yeah. And Ananias falls dead, and then Sapphira, and then you know, you can start seeing now things are starting to come into the early church that wasn't in the beginning.
Amen.
It's sad to see.
Yes.
But this is all is what Satan does. And how did this come about? The prophet says in restoration of the bride tree, there came a little old, ugly-looking, greedy-teeth beetle that lived in four different stages. This four-stage insect destroyer, the palmer worm, cankerworm, caterpillar, locust.
Yeah.
The same bug. But here was this glorious fruit tree with all of these fruits at the beginning in the book of Acts. Something comes and starts to eat now. Something starts eating at that early church. It was the spirit now of Antichrist. It was now Satan starts to come in and to influence with this this inference, firstly, of the palmer worm. Joel 1 had told us. Let's read it again, just for the young ones. Joel chapter 1, verse 4. This is what started to happen now.
Yeah.
Joel 1, verse 4. That which the palmer worm hath left, hath the locust eaten.
Amen.
So first the palmer worm comes and he eats something. Once he's done his job, the insect moves the next day. He eats something else.
Yeah.
And then he goes from that now becomes the cankerworm, the locust, and then the cankerworm. So this little beetle that starts as a beetle and then he becomes a locust and then he becomes whatever, he starts eating down this bribe tree.
Amen.
And that's what the prophet says, this greedy teeth beetle.
Mm.
He came forth to destroy that beautiful tree of God.
Mm-hmm.
He says, think about it. What is the very first thing that he did? He says, so this little palmer worm came forth to eat the fruits.
Amen.
That's the very first thing you start finding goes inside of your life. And he says, I've got different fruits here. He says, and the very first fruit he took was brotherly love.
Amen.
Before you lose your faith, you lose your love. That's what the Jews did. You start losing brotherly love.
Amen.
That's why the Hebrews now complaining about the Greeks and the Greeks about the Hebrews.
Amen.
You've lost your brotherly love.
Amen.
You've lost the supernatural something that loves your brethren.
Amen.
This love of the brethren. This something, this glory that gives you this supernatural something, this fruit inside of your life.
Amen.
Because these fruits, the prophet speaking of love and faith and all that, these are the fruits of the Spirit.
Amen.
These are not natural fruits.
Yeah.
These are the fruits that the Spirit has to bring to pass inside of your life.
Yep.
We can manufacture these fruits.
Yeah.
You know, we can manufacture unity. We can manufacture love and all of that. But that genuine something is only when the glory is fresh.
Yes.
Because these are the fruits of the Spirit.
Amen.
And when you're in the Spirit, these fruits now are manifest.
Amen.
Now you can love like Jesus loved. Now you can have faith the way that Jesus had faith. These fruits that this palmer worm starts to eat. And he says, the prophet says, you remember, the fruit he took off the tree, love is the first fruit of the tree.
Amen. Amen.
Love, joy, peace, and so forth in the Holy Ghost. So he says, he's speaking now. The prophet, when he preaches this message, this one, I will restore, he's preaching now to the full gospel businessman.
Mm-hmm.
And he's showing saints, 50 years ago, do you know that God poured out his glory on you people?
Yeah.
He says, it was a glorious thing, Azusa Street.
Amen.
He says, but things have changed in the last 50 years. He says, and for us to understand what we've lost and what we need to seek the Lord to restore, the prophet says, let's go back and find in the early church, let's find what Pentecost had and then see what we don't have. And then we'll see if the bug has been working inside of our lives and inside of our church.
Amen.
That's the way we do it, friends. We compare ourselves with the original. In the church age book, the prophet says, God set up the early church as the original.
Amen.
You always must work from an original.
Amen.
That's the true pattern he set.
Mm-hmm.
That was his first and perfect work that he did.
Amen.
He says, now everybody needs to assess themselves against that.
Amen.
And he said, in ministry, God said Paul is the pattern.
Mm-hmm.
So his doctrine, his life, and all those kind of things, if you want to be faithful and true, you assess yourself against Paul.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
He says, we'll never be Paul, but we try to approximate as much as we can to Paul. Mm-hmm. So if we now as the church, we want to compare ourselves with what was there in the beginning, that early church. And if we're lacking anything now, it means restoration's not yet complete.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Now, we haven't yet gone back to what it was in the beginning. This latter glory hasn't yet come back to what the former glory was.
Amen.
You know, so we might focus on a lot of other things to justify ourselves and say, look, but at least I know the book of Revelation. And that's good. That's all fine in itself.
Mm-hmm.
But friends, the Lord said, I will restore, says the Lord.
Amen.
I'm going to restore that tree once again. And that's really what he wants us in the process. Let's go back and find what that is. He says, Pentecost had that. They were so together, such a feeling of brotherhood. But something taken place, it was that palmer worm.
Mm.
He says, because it makes no difference how smart we are, how much we think we know. Without this, we can't win.
Yes, amen.
Ah, friends, and you know it in your own experience. I know it in my own. There's a certain time when you're walking with Christ, when you've renewed your first love. When you've come back to the altar, you've renewed your experience with Him. When you go and speak to the lost, When you speak to your relatives, they don't believe. When you speak to the people at work, when you speak to your neighbor, there's something different.
Amen.
There's something there that testifies of Christ. He testifies himself. Mm-hmm. There's a glory that's there.
Mm-hmm.
But when something starts to come, remember Jesus warned, he said, especially in the last days, he said, because iniquity shall abound,
mm-hmm.
the love of many will wax cold.
Yep.
Because of the evil all around us. And we can become critical now. And they have their pride parade out there. And we, Lord, send fire from heaven upon these people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we do, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
And we can become critical about things. And instead of now trying to win somebody to Christ, we criticize them to Christ. Yeah? How can you dress like that? How can you live like that? Has its place.
Mm-hmm.
But when somebody is lost and somebody is deceived by the devil, somebody is overcome of all kinds of evil, you know what they need to see? They need to see a manifestation of the glory.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
They need to see that there's something that you've got that they don't have.
Mm-hmm.
Like they had in the early church. They need to see, but hey, yeah, when I've spoken to other people, all they do is condemn me. Remember, like the woman at the well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she had been to church so many times, they just told her, you're just immoral, we don't want you in the synagogue. And then she gets to all of her religious understanding doesn't help her much. All she can do is argue. And then she meets the tree of life himself. And when now she stays and has the glory, that atmosphere of the glory, and the glory starts to manifest itself. And he has someone who doesn't immediately condemn her. Mm-hmm. But he has someone who contacts her spirit.
Mm-hmm.
She has someone who really goes back down and says, I'm going to call you husband.
Amen.
Then I'll tell you a few more things.
Amen.
I don't have a husband. And maybe she looks down, but I don't have a husband.
That's right.
You've had five.
Mm-hmm.
And the one you're living with now is not your husband.
Amen.
Oh, for now there was something different.
Mm-hmm.
Come and see a man told me everything that I've ever done. Is not this the Messiah?
Mm-hmm.
That transformed her life.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
When she now came into that atmosphere and something personally dealt with her soul, something came down to her realm that all religion had never touched before.
Mm-hmm.
But here was the tree of life. Here was the Word made flesh. And he got right down between soul and spirit, between bone and marrow.
Mm-hmm.
Something touched her and brought that seed to life inside
mm-hmm.
of her.
Mm-hmm.
Friends, her immorality was going to take care of itself. Her bad dressing was going to take care of itself. Because she's partaking now of the tree of life. Can you see how good it was? You know, that characteristic they had in the beginning. So this is that. I'm looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Now, because Paul now, when he comes on the scene, this is just 30 years. Paul writing to the Corinthians. This is 65 AD something. This is just 30 years after the church was filled with the glory. But Paul now, he has the church. This is the church. This is the bride.
Amen.
Paul never says this isn't the bride. This is the bride. The Corinthian church. And Paul now, he starts seeing, hey, but you saints, he's comparing now this church with the original church.
Mm-hmm.
And he's saying, saints, it's good.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a lot of things taking place in your meetings, but you're not the same as the original.
You know?
He looks at them and he discerns them.
Amen.
And he starts seeing, but hey, brother so-and-so has taken brother so-and-so to the courts.
Mm-hmm.
Ha! Hey, this brother's sleeping with his stepmother.
Mm-hmm.
Living with his stepmother as if it's his wife. Yeah. Then he starts seeing the contentions. One saying, I'm of Paul. Another one saying, I'm of Apollos. Another one saying this.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Paul says, look, he creates this and that. But then he comes to the crunch and says, look, let me tell you the real solution to all of these things.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, sorry. He says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. So he starts to address the issues because they're focusing so much on gifts.
Mm.
Because these believers now, the glory is diminished. They've lost their unity.
Mm.
They're now, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos. No, 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 no. Paul actually writes, he says, it's been declared to me by the house of Chloe. Sister Chloe, she told me, there's contentions among you people.
Mm-hmm.
There's divisions among you.
Mm.
He says, is Christ divided?
Mm-hmm.
Did Paul die for you?
Mm-hmm.
He says, who is Apollos? Who is Cephas? These are just ministers of the gospel.
Amen.
You can't be raising these things up and be, this is the thing I'm uniting around. Is I'm uniting around the ministry of Cephas. I'm not uniting with you. I'm uniting around the ministry of Apollos.
Mm.
No, I'm uniting around Paul. Because Paul is, that's what they were doing. And friends, so we're not doing exactly the same thing in the
mm-hmm.
Can you see? Once the glory starts to diminish in our experience. Now, we're trying to find things to unite ourselves mm-hmm. around. And Paul starts to, okay, we'll skip chapter 12, go to chapter 13. And he says, okay, all of your gifts and all the things you've done are wonderful. But chapter 13, verse 1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, friends, that's a powerful gift. We all want gifts of prophecy in church.
Mm-hmm.
We want those things. We want tongues interpreted. Those are wonderful things. These are gifts that were put inside of the church.
Mm-hmm.
But the Corinthian church had lost the glory and was now focusing on the wrong thing. Yeah. They say, we're the bride because we've got gifts. Mm-hmm. We're the bride because we've got prophecy. You see? And Paul came and said, no, that's not really what you should be focusing on.
Mm-hmm.
You need to come up higher.
Mm-hmm.
There's another level that you should be focusing on. He says, you can have all of these things and have no charity. And then he starts speaking, verse 4, he starts speaking of the characteristics now.
Amen.
Charity suffers long.
Mm.
He says, you're not long-suffering, you're taking each other to the Lord.
That's true.
You can't even forgive your brother, but love, the glory of God inside of your life, it allows you to bear with your brother.
Amen.
Even when it's wrong. Mm. Charity suffers long and is kind. It's
Amen.
Not rude. It's not arrogant.
Mm.
Charity envies not. It's not puffed up. You know? It doesn't say, oh, I want to show I can do a better item than that person.
Mm.
My prophecy is more powerful than your prophecy.
Mm.
You see the way they've got it too. They were taking these precious sacred things of the Lord
yeah.
and they've lost the governing influence behind them that made those things precious.
Yeah.
And they were making them things that people could laugh at. Mm-hmm. And here they're going to communion. Imagine the Corinthian believers, they're going to communion service. They're gathering together afterwards for the fellowship. They're drinking wine, you know, and they drink, and the brothers are drunk. He says, yeah, some of you are coming to communion getting drunk. I remember when Donnie Reagan was traumatizing. He says, the brother's at home there, and it's midnight, and he's got home with his family. He has people coming down the street. You know, those drunk people. Hey, these unbelievers, they got no respect. He looks outside, and it's believers coming from church that have got themselves drunk at the communion service.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what they don't read the book of Corinthians.
Mm.
Friends, all of these things are taking place, and
yeah.
Paul points them to one solution. He said, brethren, it's love.
Amen.
It's his glory. You've come down from a certain height.
Amen.
You've lost a certain thing. So the prophet says the first fruit they lost was this love, this brotherly love.
Mm-hmm.
This brotherly love that brings a unity.
Mm-hmm.
He says, and then what happened next? He says, the second thing, he says, what did this little bug do next? This locust came.
Mm-hmm.
And he destroyed the leaves.
Mm-hmm.
So the palm eats the fruits. Once the fruits have gone, they focus on the leaves.
Mm-hmm.
So what is leaves type? It's fellowship.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
What's better on a hot day, especially in Africa, when you go outside and there's a nice shady tree.
Yeah.
And you put yourself under a tree, you sit down with someone and have good fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
Leaves types fellowship. So once they lost the love,
mm-hmm.
the next thing that's going to go is the fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, I don't really want to visit so-and-so. That brother, I don't want to visit sister so-and-so. She said this, she said that.
Mm-hmm.
And it started coming into the church.
Mm-hmm.
And now they start uniting around secondary things now.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas before, they had such a glorious thing that united around, that a message of the glory of God that had been poured out in their age. But now they're uniting around something different. And Paul has to come and exhort them. But already the church has fallen, you can see,
mm-hmm.
from what it was in the beginning, just 30 years before. Look at what the church has now become.
Amen.
It's lost this. And the prophet says, the locust destroyed the leaves. What are the leaves for?
Mm-hmm.
Destroying divine fellowship.
Amen.
Friend, there's a huge difference between fellowship and divine fellowship.
Amen.
You know, when you gather and the glory is there, you know that kind of fellowship.
Amen.
Now, God can do mighty things in the midst. You fellowship and God heals this person. God does this. God reveals the secrets of the heart.
Amen.
Just in a gathering, and people are gathered in a one accord.
Mm.
Doesn't even need a church gathering.
Yes.
Now, you just gather together with people of one accord and the glory is fresh in your experience.
Mm.
That glory is going to start to express itself. And it's going to pour in the oil and the wine. It's going to do supernatural things here. You won't even know what's taking place, but the God is ministering in the midst of his people. That's a divine fellowship now.
Mm-hmm.
But these people had come down from divine fellowship just to fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was nice. They were believers. They were laboring. They were patient and all these other things they were doing. But they lost this divine fellowship. The prophet says,
Amen.
What did that old locust do? He cut the fellowship off.
Mm-hmm.
And you know the glory is gone since when you don't feel like you want a fellowship.
Amen.
And when you'd rather stay at home than go and be with people.
Mm.
It wasn't like that in the beginning.
Amen.
Yeah.
You think when the glory was fresh, when Jesus first revealed himself to you. You think of what it was like when you first got in the message.
Amen.
It was such a glorious thing. You would travel night and day to go to a convention.
Amen.
I remember when we were in Zimbabwe, we used to go to a convention and we were single brothers. I didn't think much about the comfort. You'd hire a school. And then you'd sleep in a classroom.
Amen.
I remember us getting into meetings once for the weekend. We were told, okay, you single brothers, you're sleeping in this classroom. There was nothing in the classroom but desks and chairs. Yeah, you're sleeping on a desk. You don't have a pillow. Yeah, we thought, hey, maybe something is right. But when the glory is fresh, it means nothing to you.
Amen.
Because the fellowship that you're going to have in that place
Amen.
Far outweighs the discomfort you're going to have to go through.
Amen.
Because you've gathered around a purpose.
Amen.
There's a heavenly places. There's a heavenly vision. There's something spiritual that is real to you at that time. And you want to feed that experience. That's the most important thing to you. But when you lose that now,
Amen.
Then you gather together. Then you'll be saying, how can they not even provide any comfort for us to sleep? Then you've come from us at night.
Yeah.
You think of what it was, how glorious it was at first. Yeah, and Satan, he really, really works. And he knows how to do these things. The prophet says, the Bible says that the predestinated church, the predestinated sons of God, what do? They sit in heavenly places.
Mm-hmm.
And your soul, if it was born in glory,
mm-hmm.
yeah, like the early church was, it'll never be satisfied with anything else.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
No, you'll be disgruntled. You sisters will wonder why your husband's really, really grumpy these days. Because his soul, which was born in glory, is not experiencing the glory.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, other things have come in. He's allowed misunderstandings to get in the way. He's allowed all these other things to come in. He's come down from heavenly places now. But his soul is crying out, saying,
yeah.
This isn't the atmosphere that you used to be in. This isn't how you used to be.
It's true.
And he goes to fellowship with brother sons, and that person's also down now. And now you start speaking. I'm not really happy with the way things are going these days. Yeah, you know, brother so-and-so, the way he was preaching the other day, and this day, you see the things you start to speak. And instead of feeding the glory, it's actually just your other things have come
Amen.
In the way. And you leave then, you're feeling grieved now. And then, what do you need? You really need the grace of God, friends.
Amen.
You really need the grace of God. Let's come to a close. The prophet speaks then about Azusa Street.
Mm.
Yeah, imagine Azusa Street. Azusa Street, they had such a glory that united them at first.
Amen.
It was the restoration of the gifts of the Spirit.
Amen.
Yeah, there were the baptism of the Holy Ghost fell in that. Yeah, if you're reading it now, you go and read and see about Azusa Street. It was just a warehouse.
Mm.
And they took certain planks and put them as benches. They didn't even have benches. They just took some crates and made benches and stuff and swept the place a little bit. It wasn't even a church building.
Mm.
There's 312 Azusa Street. But God sent his glory down into that place.
Amen.
And they had something to unite themselves around. They had an experience
Amen.
Of his glory to unite themselves around. But it didn't take long until the palmer worm started to work.
Amen.
Didn't take long. And then came the locust to eat the leaves.
Mm-hmm.
And soon, what did they start to do? They start to argue now. I think Christ is coming on a white horse. Yeah. No, he's coming on a white cloud.
Mm-hmm.
No, the prophet speaks of it. It's true. They started to divide themselves. They started coming. Imagine they have this glorious experience. What were they supposed to do? They were supposed to witness of this glory.
Amen.
They were supposed to go and tell people, Jesus can fill you with his Spirit.
Amen.
Jesus can use you. We have people that speak languages they never knew.
Mm-hmm.
We have prophecy. The Holy Ghost is so controlling people. Come and see for yourself what it's like.
Yeah.
Come and taste and see that the Lord is good.
Mm-hmm.
Come and see this glory that is manifesting
Amen.
Itself.
Yeah.
Come and see for you. And just invite people to this common experience which they were having.
Mm-hmm.
But they took it down from being an experience. The prophet says Pentecost is not a denomination. It's an experience.
Amen.
And they took Pentecost down from being an experience and they made it into a denomination.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And Barclayman in that book on Azusa Street, he says he came to church one day and he saw they put a sign on the top of the church that said Apostolic Faith Mission. He said, I knew the glory is gone. He says it's going to be Ichabod because they've made it into a human thing now. They were supposed to unite around this glory that God was doing in their day.
Amen.
You know, they had something to really, really unite. But unfortunately. And the prophet says that. He says when they received that revelation, they received that glory. And then came the revelation of the oneness of the Godhead. The revelation of the baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They had it there in Azusa Street, just after Azusa Street. He says, but the brethren, if they could have stayed in the glory with that revelation, mm-hmm. and kept the Spirit sweet around them, and then gone to their brethren to present that to the brethren, said, look, brethren, the Lord has showed us that He's not three, He's one. Mm-hmm. But listen how the prophet says it. He says, but they made an issue out of it. Yeah? He said they should have stayed with their brethren and let the Holy Ghost anoint them. But the locusts began to fly.
Amen.
It broke up brotherhood. Yeah? Mm-hmm. And he says they started to be dogmatic.
Mm-hmm.
They started saying, no. If you don't believe the oneness of the God and you're not in the bride, you're the foolish virgin. You see? If you don't believe He's coming on a white horse, if you believe He's coming in a white cloud, you can't fellowship with us. And they broke up. Mm. And now they have the white cloud convention, you know, the white cloud brothers, and they have the white horse convention over here.
Yeah.
And the prophet said, now they made their own unities.
Mm-hmm.
He says, they made their own unity. We have our unity. We're the oneness unity. We have our Trinitarian people. We have our unity over here. And he says, and the Lord looked at that and said, I wanted to complete the restoration, but I can't complete the restoration when it's like this.
Mm-hmm.
Something needs to take place to bring it to what it was. Imagine these people with this glory. And great, now, let's finish off. Friends, we have a greater glory than them.
Mm-hmm.
You think of the ministry of the Son of Man in our age.
Amen.
You think of the glory, because the restoration has been continuing from Luther. The Lord restored more with Wesley, restored more glory with Azusa, and He's restored the fullness of His glory with the message of the hour.
Amen.
You think of the potential, what we have to fellowship around, the glory that we have as a uniting principle.
Amen.
But friends, have you not made the same mistake? I remember a few years back when one brother came to visit us from South Africa, he told me that in Durban, at that stage, there were almost 50 message churches. 50 in one town. Maybe 3 or 4 Baptist churches, but 50 message churches.
Mm-hmm.
And friends, I think this is the biggest factor that hinders people
mm-hmm.
from really seeing the glory of this message. Is that we have the message. We have the restored faith.
Mm-hmm.
But it's seeking for that glory. Because when the glory comes into your life,
mm-hmm.
and you have the original faith, and you've got the original experience of the glory,
mm-hmm.
You now can present the message in the right way.
Amen.
You now can take that message out. People can come and partake of that tree of life.
Amen.
But when we lose the glory, we keep the doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
So now we become contentious with people, and we just want to argue. I mean, when I first got in the message, friends, it was so glorious. You know, you didn't want to argue with people. Then after a while, you come down from that glory, and all it became was debate.
Mm-hmm.
You hitting that person with a scripture, they hitting you with a scripture, and all that kind of a stuff. Until you come back to the glory once again. Now,
Amen.
The prophet says, in finishing off, God has promised to restore.
Amen.
That's the scripture we read. I will restore, says the Lord.
Amen.
All of the years of the locust, the caterpillar, the palm, all that the devil has been trying to do. And I believe us friends, as message believers, around the world, we're learning a lot of lessons now.
Mm.
Now we're united around a lot of things, and we focused on a lot of things, and we realize that God wasn't really pleased with this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we were like the Corinthians. We're uniting around different things. But I think we all are coming to the stage. We're getting a little bit more wise now, and we're starting to see, but no. Why did the Lord call us to this message?
Amen.
Why did He call you to this message? Jesus has answered it for us. That if we become one
mm-hmm.
and we walk with this message in the glory, the people are going to believe it. Mm-hmm. Whosoever is ordained unto life, there's going to be some, like Brother Sasha was saying when they went to Little, and that lady asked them, are you Christians? Please, when do you go to church? Go to Dublin. Can I come with you next time you go mm-hmm. to Dublin? There's something about the glory in a believer.
Amen.
And that is the thing we need to focus on. That's the thing we need the Lord to say, Lord, please, restore the glory in Zalamanaya. Restore the essence that I used to have.
Amen.
I've got the restored word. Now I've got a superpower of word.
Amen.
We've got a super message in an astronaut age. It's got superpower in the message. But Lord, the reason this message maybe isn't doing what we're hoping it'll do, or manifesting itself, or attracting the way that we think that it should,
It's got to be an atmosphere around it.
Amen.
There's got to be a glory, got to be a sweetness of something, a reality of Christ when you present it to the people. Listen to this final quote. The prophet says, I'd rather have a church, he says. I've read this before in The Way to Fellowship. He says, listen just a moment. I would rather have a church that knows nothing about any spiritual gift.
Mm-hmm.
And yet be so in love with one another.
Amen.
And with Christ.
Amen.
I'd rather that have that than every spiritual gift operating in the church.
Amen.
Now that might sound hard, he says, in a Pentecostal group, but I'd rather have it. Where there's gifts, they can fail.
Mm-hmm.
Where there's ministries, they can fail. We've seen it in the message. People took people out, 7 thunder, burn them out on a branch, and then people take people out from this on a branch, and people
mm-hmm.
follow this one out on another limb.
Mm-hmm.
Surely, church, we need to learn from these things.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with the message. Nothing wrong with the believers.
Mm-hmm.
But, hey, friends, the palmer worm's been
eaten.
The locust has been eaten. So the prophet, he finishes, he says, now, where there's gifts, they'll fail.
Amen.
Where there's gifts, they'll bring confusion.
Mm.
Where there's gifts, they can be questioned. But where there's love, it's perfect.
Mm.
That's right.
Amen.
And if you have perfect love, you will have perfect gifts.
Amen.
Ah, friends, if I can seek to say, Lord, instead of just studying and being so busy, but if I can spend time in your glory.
Amen.
Because imagine when Moses went up into the glory and he came down and his face was shining with the glory.
Yeah.
God was testifying. There's something different about this man. Listen to this man. Amen. Moses didn't have to testify himself. People could see there's something different about this man.
Amen.
There's a glory around this man.
Amen.
So when Moses came with the word, now it was hard to argue with Moses about the word because the glory was accompanying the word.
Amen.
You said, I think that is the key thing that the prophet is saying right here. If you have perfect love, you'll have perfect gifts. That's right. So work first with love.
Amen.
And that brings fellowship.
Amen.
And fellowship brings gifts.
Amen.
Ah, friends, so we believe in every gift. I believe in every gift in the Bible.
Amen.
I've seen tongues in interpretation, and it's powerful when it's done in the Spirit.
Amen.
I've been prophesied over many times in the message. I have them written down. Powerful things. It's wonderful.
Mm.
They're powerful things. Gifts of healing, gifts of miracles, gifts of discernment. Yeah?
Mm.
Plus the ministries in the church, apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, pastors. Those are gifts that God has given to the church.
Mm.
We've got everything, friends. We've got the message. We've got the restored faith, the faith that was once delivered to the saints. The only thing which we've got to really, really be looking to the Lord for, focus on, Lord, please.
Mm.
Let the glory return. Lord, you promised, I will restore.
Amen.
Friends, it doesn't say you must restore.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I will restore.
Amen.
Amen.
And I really do believe there's a season that passes by every single one of us when we've gone through winter.
Amen.
And we've lost the tree, the leaves on the tree, and the fruits are not there. But then comes to springtime.
Amen.
The Lord brings the season now of I will restore.
Amen.
And the earth now starts getting back in the right orbit with the sun like we saw yesterday. And now the life-giving resources of the sun,
mm-hmm.
the glory of the sun now starts bathing down upon the earth that's barren. It doesn't look like it's ever going to bring forth any fruit again. Just let the nature lay in the presence of the spring sun.
Mm-hmm.
When there's the rising of the sun, and then you find those seeds that start to germinate again.
Mm-hmm.
And here comes the buds and on the trees, and the shoots start coming forth in the forest floor.
Mm-hmm.
And soon you start seeing the blossoming. And you smell the fragrance once again that you haven't smelled for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Friends, that fragrance of the glory.
Amen.
When people have been in the glory and you fellowship, and there's a spiritual fragrance around those
mm-hmm.
people. And then the leaves start being restored once again.
Amen.
The fellowship starts coming back to what it was. And finally you find those fruits start coming. And people start taking all those juicy fruits once again.
Amen.
And the tree is fulfilling its purpose.
Amen.
It's ministering of the fruits that it's supposed to bring forth.
Amen.
So friends, let's really seek the Lord as we come to a time of prayer now to say, Lord, before I do anything else in Sunday, my life, Lord,
Amen.
You have promised to restore.
Amen.
You said, I will restore
something, Lord.
David says in Psalm 23, he restores my soul.
Amen.
Amen.
That's who he is. He's Jehovah the Restorer.
Amen.
So if we need restoration today as we come to a time of prayer, let's all of us pray.
Mm.
Each and everyone in your own way. Let's really seek the Lord for this place, Limerick. This place, Limerick. It just needs to see His glory.
Amen.
It just needs to see the simplicity of Christ in His people, Christ in His church. Wheresoever you are, you're in the refugee center, you're at work, you know, Brother Sasha, you're dealing with his ironware metalworks there, whatever that it is.
Amen.
Brother Leroy in his businesses, Brother Greg, Brother Swat, each and every one of us. Let's just look to the Lord and say, Lord, restore the glory to me, Lord. Show me your glory, like Moses said. Father, glorify thy Son, that your Son may glorify you. Let's just spend a season in prayer, Father, and looking unto you, Lord, upon this day, because we desire that you may be glorified, Lord. We just want your glory to shine forth from this place, Lord, to shine forth in the midst, Lord, of your people, to shine forth in the lives of your people. Father, we see these things that come to eat away, Lord, these things that come to wear us down. Father, these things, Lord, they come and discouragements come in and all these other things, Lord. But Father, thou hast said, I will restore, said the Lord, your Father, our desire and our prayers for that one thing, Lord, is to restore our souls once again, Lord. Father, you said, Lord, in your word that He restoreth our soul. So, Lord, restore our souls. Visit us, Lord, Father, that essence of your glory. That something that was so glorious in the days of our youth, Lord. Father, just restore it, we pray, Lord. And I do pray for each and every person that's here, Lord. Every soul, every family, Lord. I do want to look unto me to seek and pray for your blessing upon every life, upon every heart, Lord, upon every soul, upon our young people, Lord. That you'll bless them, Lord. That you'll lead them and guide them, Lord. That Jesus, you lead each and every one of us to, Lord, taste of your glory, Lord. To taste it, see that the Lord is good once again. For your great name, your sake, Lord, we pray. May you bless this house, Lord. Bless Brother Sasha, bless Sister Natasha, Lord. Bless the children. Bless Brother Jono and all that he does, Lord. Bless Brother Anderson. I pray for your grace. Sister Chipo and family, Lord. I lift and I dedicate them up unto you, Lord. Brother Leroy, Lord. Sister Melanie, Lord. Guide and lead them. Help them, Lord, we pray. Father, Brother Swan, Lord. Brother Jesus, Lord. Each and every one of us, Father, our eyes are upon you. We just want you, Lord, to glorify me, Lord. Father, you've done it once before in the life of Malachi 4. So, Father, glorify that name again, Lord, we pray. Just restore every soul, restore every life, Lord. Just bring us unto thyself and just be glorified, Lord, we pray. Father, as we fellowship in all things that we do, Lord, help us and work in us. Guide us and lead us, Lord. Father, be glorified in all things we pray. Father, we're coming unto you. Bless the saints in the Lord. Bless the service. Just take it on the Lord. Just lead us and guide us, Lord, to me. Help us, Lord. Work in us, Lord, for your glory, Lord, we ask. That's why we have our affections and our intentions upon you, Lord. Just look on the help to me at this time. Bless you. Give us grace unto your people. Bless the remainders. Give us traveling mercies to the people of trouble. Watch over us, Lord. We pray on this. You guide us in worship, Lord, in our example. We just want to grow up with our angels. Let's ask Brother Greg to close for us in prayer, and then ask Brother Jess to lead us in a few more songs of worship.
God bless each and every one, saints.
Amen.
May the Lord help us.
Amen.
To always keep our eyes on the prize.
Amen.
Paul says, forgetting those things that are behind, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ. And to me, the high calling is the heavenly places in Christ. The more that you and I can manifest Christ, you know, reflect and shine forth of His glory, our friends, that's the higher calling. Satan's always there to pull us down from heavenly places. That's his job. But that's why he puts us together in a body. That's why two is better than one. When one falls, the other one can lift him up. When one gets cold, the other one can give him heat. That's what the Bible says. So we stay in fellowship. We use all the resources the Lord has given us. And we look to him gathered under a promise that he has promised in this age to fully restore. And the fully restored believer, friends, the final restoration, you go in the rapture.
Amen.
Amen. That's the fullness of where we're going to. So friends, we're united around glorious things. And I'm so glad to be associated with people that, like
Amen.
Everybody who's gathered here today.
Amen.
That's a wonderful thing to be together Amen. With the family of God. So God bless Amen. You. Let's ask Brother Greg to close for us and then Brother Jess to lead us in the cross.
Dear Heavenly Father, just like to thank you, Lord Jesus, for this gathering. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you brought your children, Lord Jesus, from different places, Lord Jesus. I want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for a brother who opened door for us, but Lord Jesus, he opened door for you, Lord Jesus. Please, Lord Jesus, let nothing lack in this house, Lord Jesus. Even the house, Lord Jesus, it's a beautiful house, Lord Jesus, and bless and prosper this house.
Amen.
Sister Natasha and Brother Sasha and his children, Lord Jesus. Please, Lord Jesus, bless them all, Lord Jesus. We heard today about the restoration, Lord Jesus. All of us, Lord Jesus, we lack in our life something, Lord Jesus. But Lord Jesus, it's not us, Lord Jesus, who try to work things out, Lord Jesus. If we have to just open the heart and trust in you, because you said that you will restore, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, I pray for every single one of us gathered here, Lord Jesus. I pray for those ones that, Lord Jesus, in Dublin, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
I pray, Lord Jesus, that you will have your way here in Limerick, Lord Jesus. We don't try to open another branch. We just try to, Lord Jesus, come here and fellowship with your children, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Lord,
Amen.
If we have a love in us, Lord Jesus, we don't have to worry about anything else, Lord
Amen.
Jesus.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, maybe we've lost a fellowship, Lord Jesus. Maybe we lost the essence, Lord Jesus, of what church is, Lord Jesus. We don't have to, Lord Jesus, tell people how to dress and how to do other things. Those things have its place. But, Lord Jesus, if you are in us, Lord Jesus, the way that it's supposed to be, Lord Jesus, everything else, Lord Jesus, will take care of itself, Lord
Amen.
Jesus. Help us, Lord Jesus, to be that essence. Help us to be a walking Bible, Lord. That's my
Amen.
Prayer, Lord
Amen.
Jesus.
Amen.
I want to, Lord Jesus, thank you for a minister, Lord Jesus, who took the journey, took his time from his family, Lord Jesus, to minister to us, Lord Jesus, restore his virtue, his finances, whatever that might be, to cost him to come here, Lord Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Because he come, Lord Jesus, to present the love that he have for us, Lord Jesus. Mm-hmm. To just put his time aside to minister, Lord Jesus, what was on your heart going through his lips, Lord Jesus, to us. We're grateful, Lord Jesus, for this household, whatever you have for us. For the next time, Lord, let it be, Lord Jesus, according to your will. Just show us where to go next, Lord. We want to be obedient. We don't want to have a man's program, because that will always fail, Lord. If we just could yield ourselves and just seek your face, what is next thing to do, we will going to do it, Lord Jesus.
Yes.
Just help us to live a life that your word says. That's my prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thanks for praying.
Amen.
Take me back, dear Lord, to the place where I first received you. Take me back, take me back, dear Lord, to there were all
Joyful to have you here. You are more than welcome all the time. Mm-hmm. What we can say about Limerick? We can say, let's be light, like Pastor said. in this dark city, and maybe we think we are nobody, nothing, but mm-hmm. we are more than we think, and we are more.
Amen.
And God can do more that we can do for us.
Amen.
So, God help us.
Amen.
God bless everybody.
Amen.
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 God bless you.
Put some face to the name.